We're good. Hi, Richard. So it's great to have you on this podcast. So the intent of this podcast is to have a chat with people in the local service businesses, understand how they have built it, let's say some of the challenges they faced, and then obviously it can also be a great sort of an inspiration for someone who wants to start this, and that just becomes like a guide for them. So yeah, lovely to have you here. And before I begin, is there anything that you want to talk about, or should I get started?
No, it started. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously I'll just dive in. So the first question that I had, right, is like, what made you choose electrical services as a line of your business? Was it a specific moment or inspiration that drove you there? Or yeah, would love to know the story behind that.
Well, I grew up in New York and grew up family, very typical Italian family. My grandfather was in construction. He was a brickie, and I always gravitated towards hands-on, stuff. But I was loved the intellectual side as well. So I was going to a Jesuit high school, in the Bronx to I wanted to become a lawyer originally, and what happened was I was raised in a my mother was a single mother. So there was a financial assistance in the high school for tuition because tuition was extremely expensive. It was a private school. So I was doing some work on the summertime to help pay the tuition, and ended up helping out some of the staff and doing renovations and was like, wow, this is pretty cool, And it kind of lined right up with my grandfather's, what I saw in my grandfather and lifestyle and the working man and and really hands-on physical, and it just opened me up to the construction side. And then from there I didn't stop. I went full steam ahead in the other direction. So it was interesting.
That's great. So yeah, basically that experience basically helped you understand the market, and then you're like, okay, this is something that you would love to do, and then you just took the plunge and went all in that. Yeah, that's quite interesting. And yeah, okay, so the next follow-up question, right, is again talking more about the business. So it's a lot of hands-on sort of a business. There is a lot of competition in there. So what are the biggest challenges that you would have faced till now? And let's say, how would have like what have you approached, or how did you solve for those, and still doing this for a long time?
Yeah, well, I think as we get further on in business, right, and especially seeing the technology nowadays, it's so easy to get your name out there or say, "Hey, I do this," right? So for even for your line of work, right, they're turn a corner, there's another guy doing it. So, so for electricians, there's a lot, and we're geographic based, so it ends up being to where I serve the Phoenix, Arizona area, but really it comes down to what's different for your company, right? And that was one of the main questions that was asked to me by one of my mentors early on. And it was I saw it, in five books I read, I saw the same question over and over again, right? What makes your business different? Why are you anybody can hire an electrician. They're all over the place. Why you? And to answer that and to start to build the company based on answering that question was really one of the main things that helped us. It helped us a lot. I mean, we've grown at a considerable rate, and it's been from letting the customer see that value and the difference of why they come to TrustPoint. Why do they knock on our door, or why would they, when put side by side with another company, why would they choose us? And that's extremely important.
That's true, right? Like, I guess wherever someone starts a particular business, this is the first sort of a question that why, like, unless that's a particular type of a business that they're starting for the first time, like, let's say Facebook, when Facebook started, or let's say when these tech giants built. So obviously maybe they had different set of questions because competition wasn't that much in, let's say, that particular domain. But when even we started with digital marketing, like, there were like maybe thousands or maybe 10,000s of people that were doing that. And it's very important that initially you're able to you're able to show that what's the difference that you're bringing in, why are you different, how are you better. So yeah, like I totally understand that. That's, let's say, one of the biggest things, and catering to that answer is really important. And obviously it depends on the type of business that you are in, what sort of a proposition that you want to build, but having a USP, having a differentiation is really important. So yeah,
Well,
that's
and
cool.
the beauty of it goes, it even goes deeper, because then you sit there and you say, okay, well, the customer experience, right? Like, and I always look at like a Blockbuster versus a Netflix, like the dynamic of the industry changing. We in electrical, we're not that drastic, right? Other than, technology pushes us and drives us into different things. I can offer USB charging outlets or even PV, photovoltaics and solar. But we don't have that dynamic shift as much, right? However, when the customer comes to us and says, I need this service, that's when we can really start to impact the experience, right? We can wear booties in the house. We can text you when we're on the way. We can give you a link to follow the truck so you know exactly how far away we are. We can protect the area we're working in. We can take pictures, and after we work, put it back exactly the way it looked, though, and amongst a million other things. Those are all things that make us different. And they let us stand above our competition. And that's a classic example. As a business owner and entrepreneur, you have to think outside the box constantly about how what makes me special.
That's true, right? Like, I guess when it comes to services business, customer experience or the type of services that you offer is really important, and therefore, like, even small nitty-gritties can be something that can help you build things in a different way, right? Because if you are, let's say, doing the job is, let's say, one part of it, but then are you able to understand your customer? Are you able to treat them well? Are you able to do those small things that really matter to them? Because work can be done by a lot of people, but understanding that human connection is really important, and especially with the service industry when we are a part of that. So people should feel that you're not just here for doing the job, you understand what you want to do, and you really care about the people that you are working for. So yeah, that totally makes sense. Cool. So the next thing that I wanted to know about is, like, obviously with the new digital era that we are in, things are going digital. Like different channels are being built, and there are lots of different things that are happening. So, what are the different channels that help and bring business for you right now?
For us, I mean, Google is king if you're a newer business or less than, 5 years, hands down. LSA and pay-per-click and all that good stuff. It's really a numbers game at that point, which, again, when I was originally gotten to the business, it wasn't like that. It was, you did jobs until you made a name for yourself. It took time. Now the deepest pockets can be overnight success, and it really comes down to a balancing act of saying, I'm going to spend X amount of dollars, the return on investment for your marketing spend, and then being able to say, okay, here's the formula, and then being able to build on that. And it's amazing how, again, it's almost a little scary from what I'm used to, because it makes it volatile, right? If LSA or your LSA profile collapses tomorrow, and we actually had that happen a few months back, we went from 160 calls a month to like four, and it was like, whoa, what happened?
Okay.
And they had to rebuild it. They had to talk to Google and get it back, and we're back now. But it's a scary thought. It's something that has to be monitored all the time. So it's I would say Google is one of the biggest factors.
Okay. Like, do you do ads on Meta? Do you do SEO? All of these channels as well?
We do, but it's all we're a little higher of a marketing, like we're at maybe like an 8 to 9% marketing spend, which is a little high for right now, but at the same time, we have a massive growth plan, so it's pretty aggressive. So we're kind of pushing in that Google space, but we are doing, like, some Meta, some social. They just don't work as, you can't see the direct. It takes time. It's an organic thing that's growing. It's, where the Google stuff is like, yeah, spend 1,000, get this, and it all matches up.
And that's true, right? Because like we work with a lot of local services businesses, like roofing, fencing, all of these categories in the US. And one thing that we have seen, obviously, Google is the biggest sort of a driver for most of our clients as well. Like basically, they started at a spend of 2,000 a month because they were like, okay, let's try this. Because before that, they were not digital, and they were like, okay, we are getting all of our leads either from the word of mouth or from people that we know, or all of that, right? But they were not running ads. So they started with Google from like $2,000 a month. Now we're spending more than 10,000 every month for them because they're able to see that value that it's bringing in. But at the same time, we also started, let's say, running ads on Meta. We started doing their local SEO because at the end of the day, these platforms are becoming really competitive. And therefore, as you mentioned, like just being there on one platform also at times becomes a problem because a lot of your business is just coming from that. And despite great services, despite everything, there's a lot of dependence that goes on one channel. So what we basically try to always do is try to, let's say, maybe have multiple channels so that we are sure that if, let's say, there are particular days when, let's say, a particular channel is not working, there are other channels that can still support the business and can still bring it in. So yeah, that's cool to know that Google is again as a channel that's doing well because that's what we have seen.
And then you also have the next level of that, right? Are the people that are spending money on Google, are they giving Google the feedback to help them? Because that's another thing, right? While rating the leads and being able to go back and put the time in to say, yes, this was a good lead, no, it was a bad one. With AI these days and with everything else, all the algorithms and all the different stuff going on, you know way better than I do. I'm just an electrician, but with everything happening, us giving that feedback is all making it sharper and clearer, and the people that aren't doing it, then they're losing that value, which opens opportunity and doors for the people that are doing it. So again, another level or layer of stepping it up. So.
No, that's true, right? Like, because at the end of the day, these channels are getting signals, and more the signals we give them, they will get better. Because if you're able to explain them that, okay, you got me 20 leads, but maybe 15 of them were good, but five were not. And let's say there was a particular reason that they were not good. So that can help the platform understand that maybe these are the set of keywords which are bringing in lower quality leads. I need to maybe not push my the budget towards them, while I need to push more towards the one that are bringing in better quality leads, because that's a sort of constant sort of a communication that we have with our clients. Because at times people are not specific with the request, because at times what we hear is we're getting some leads that are less than $5,000 in terms of the job that they are, but we are not really looking for less than $5,000 of a job. We are looking for, let's say, 20,000 or 25,000. So we're like, okay, we need to just understand more about that, because that's not a good sort of a signal to give that platform that, okay, don't bring me like less than $5,000 of a lead, but just let me know that, okay, this is a bad quality lead, maybe this is the reason for that, and then I can go back, make changes in our campaigns, because the feedback has to be in a way that even us and then the channel can understand that what we are trying to tell it, right? Otherwise, if you're not giving the right, again, it's about signals. So if you're not giving the right signals, then improvements or getting improvements is really tough. So yeah, that totally makes sense. Like, and honestly, I agree that most of the people are not giving those signals, while it's getting more and more important to give those signals and get them better. So yeah, that's great. So the next, this is an interesting one because I want to know more about this, which is what sort of role has BNI played in your journey in your business, not just in your business, but also personally as well? Because I can see that the platform has been built in a way that obviously gets you business because that's what it is majorly for, but also it improves us with better learnings, with better connections, and all of that. So yeah, this is definitely an interesting one that I want to know more about.
Yeah, honestly, it's probably the best question you can ask, right? And it's obviously we're both BNI, so it's people tend to veer more towards the oh, it's an impartial. Nothing trumps relationships. Nothing. There's absolutely nothing. You can spend all you want on Google. You can spend all you want everywhere. When it comes down to the bones of your business, to be able to look someone in the eye or somebody call you and know that they are getting the purest form of service, that's that's the difference, right? There's no, and especially for me when I deal with other members, our chapter is a larger chapter, so it's about 88 or 90 members.
Okay.
I can walk in that room and I can ask someone, "Hey, I have this problem. Can you help me?" I don't have to. It takes away all of the hassle of the guesswork. Who am I dealing with? Are they going to give me good service? I know them, and I know them on a multiple level, right? It's not just the business level. If they've done their presentation, if they've gone through, if we've been through a one-to-one, if we've done all this stuff, we've also developed a personal relationship. And to me, that maybe I'm old school, too, or but it's just more of the fact that for me trumps all, because I know what I'm supporting, I know who's supporting me. It's such a no-brainer. Really is a great tool to have, and a
It
great.
is right. Like I totally like the thing that you mentioned, right? Which is there's a problem you can go to people in the room and they can solve that for you. It's like really like when I started, and for me when I joined BNI, I honestly didn't know more about that because I was like I was young. I didn't really know about BNI, what it offers, and I was like, okay, will this be helpful? And will I be able to get something out of it which can help me and the business? But from then, I have really seen the type of people that are a part of my chapter. We are close to 50 people. So it's still a good number in terms of people. And then obviously the one thing that I really love about BNI is that you get 50 people from 50 different sort of verticals coming in. Which makes it even better, right? Because then you know that, okay, there's a particular problem that you have, which let's say is related to marketing. So you can go to the marketing person. There's something that's related to tech. You can go to the tech person. There's something related to sales. Maybe you can go to someone like that. So that's the beauty of it, right? That there are people, and most of them are like, they are in their business for like 10 years, 20 years, sort of a thing, right? So these are like experts in the business. They are experts in their domains, and the type of insights that they will share will definitely help you. So that's something that I have seen as well. So yeah, that's definitely a platform that has been built that supports businesses as well as individuals. Like, as I mentioned, I have obviously seen help in the business, but at the same time, I have seen help with me as a better professional with a better sort of an understanding in terms of how to talk, how to pitch. So those sessions at times are amazing. So yeah.
Right. Anytime anybody can add to your, I mean, right? We all try to be better every day. That's a no-brainer for any entrepreneur. We all have that mindset of saying, we want to get ourselves better. We want to make the company better. We want to grow. We want to make it better for our employees. We hope, and all that stuff. To be in any room, that giver's gain mentality to me was that it's like they couldn't have said anything better. Just say giver's gain. I'm like, you know what? I'm interested. That's how I try to live my life. And then when you get in the room and you see these people, I don't even know how many. There's the our leadership team is so they're just they give such wholehearted, unconditional support to all of us. And I hope to be privileged enough to do that one day. But for them, they just you see that and you're just like, these people are all successful. They all and they choose to help and mentor and grow new members and new people coming in, and it's amazing when you disconnect from what's in it for me, right, and switch it to what can I do for
Yeah.
people. It just comes, it happens. It's really cool.
Yeah, that's true, right? Like the type of effort that people put in to help you, to educate you, to make you learn things is amazing, right? And again, right, like they're not getting anything back, which is even a bigger thing that they are just trying to help people there. So yeah, that's definitely a great thing. About how has the complete structure being built that people are able to support businesses and everyone. So yeah. So the next question that I had, right, which is when you talk about, let's say, services or local services, and then obviously electrical services being your category, like this is not something that people really, this is like how do I structure it? Like I should say that this is not something that people have in the top of the mind until unless they see a problem that okay, there is a problem at my house house or there's a problem at my office. So typically, like when you started, right? Like let's say when you were not running Google Ads, what was your way of, let's say, doing marketing and reaching out to those people and letting them know that you exist and you can solve that problem? So how did you initially sort of try to cater to the market, try to educate people that, okay, we are there and we can solve these sort of problems for you? So that's really interesting for me to know.
So I've been in the business. I got in the business in 93. I got my master
Okay.
license in 02. So I've been doing it for a while. I've seen it switch and change and kind of the dynamic change quite a bit. There's a lot I didn't know when I first started business, right? That had to do with a lot to do with customer service as well, like just going over the top and being able to really provide that value. Certain things that we consider like people talk about upselling and doing all these things that are maybe not looked upon favorably, but it depends on how you look at the service, right? I'm not selling, you never want to sell somebody something that they don't need. You want to sell something or you want to provide the service for people when they don't know they need it, right? So for us, you're right. Electrical is not, nobody says, "Hey, what'd you do for Christmas?" And somebody goes, "Oh yeah, you got to see this GFI outlet we got," or
That's
this.
true, yeah.
And I always joke with my team. I always say, they talk about the EV vehicle, the electric vehicle. They don't talk about the electrical vehicle charger, right? That's how it goes. And it's not, we're the behind the scenes unsung heroes, I guess, right?
True.
So in the beginning, before LSA and Google, and you could just, turn it on. Shaking hands. It had to be shaking hands. It had to be doing every job 100% the way it needed to go. Even with print, you would get people if they would call or see your ad, and it would be there was always a skepticism starting, right? Different from an existing customer to where they know what they're going to get. But again, people do business with who they like, know, and trust, right? Those three pieces of the puzzle, whether it's you. Whether it's me, it's my technician, it's my CSR in the office, that has to ring true. The like, know, and trust has to carry through the whole process. And if it doesn't, then that's when you have breaks and fractures in the customer relationship that you need to make sure you heal. So it's a big question, really is. And I just feel that that it really comes down to, again, the relationships. And now that I look at LSA and Google as more of the meeting room and opportunity to do what I choose with those relationships, right? If it gives me a chance to meet you, that's great. That's all I look for it. I don't look for it. Some people say, okay, you know what? We're going to run them through the numbers game and we're going to say, well, if I get 1,000 leads, I'm bound to close 10% of them. Good. What's your return customer rate, right? If your return customer rate's horrible, well, you're wasting money because you're just throwing those leads out the window. You're what they call what? Pretty much shearing the sheep completely, right? You're just totally taking advantage of the situation, never having the plan on returning, back for that client. So it becomes a bigger picture. It becomes people that are playing a short-term game when you should be playing a long-term game, right? And that's the biggest part of it. That's a great question though.
Yeah, well, that's true, right? Because again, even when we are in marketing or let's say we work with clients, I guess we don't really make a lot of money in the first month or maybe the first 2 or 3 months. The only way that you can earn money is if a client is working with you for, let's say, at least 6 to 12 or even longer, right? Like obviously you don't want to lose any client, but what I'm trying to say is the customer retention is, let's say, a very crucial sort of an element for you to make money. Or let's say do right business. And the only way that's it's possible is if you're giving a good service, right? Because if you're just trying to bring in people and say that, okay, we'll do this, we'll do that, but you're just saying things and you don't really mean them. Obviously, people will realize that maybe they'll take a month or two, but they'll realize that you were just trying to bring them in, and that's the only sort of a thing that you really sort of focus on. Because again, right, like marketing is changing a lot, and therefore there can be a lot of interesting hooks that can bring people in. But I guess people don't really understand that it's not just about bringing business, but it's about sustaining that business or growing that business, because that's the value that you can add. So I totally understand that when you say that, people don't really look at what's your, let's say, lifetime value for a particular user, right? Like how many times that user is using your services, what are they saying about your services, how many people are they talking about? Because again, right, another thing with service business that I've seen is people talk. People like, let's say you'll definitely talk to your neighbor that you got your service from someone. How did they do that? Because that's a problem that everyone faces, and therefore they want to know people that are doing that in the right way. So totally, I can totally understand what you're saying.
Kids have it a little, they have it a little easier, like HVAC or services. They have to go in twice a year. They do a HVAC checkup, a heating checkup. We don't really have that. We have a membership program where that gets us, to stop in once a year, make sure your system's good and stuff like that. But for the most part, our average, I think the average user for electrical services is like once every 5 years, which is, which is tough. But again, if we treat it as it's not a shock and awe or a bang, a quick in and out thing, it's a nurturing of the relationship, then we're playing the long game, and it's much better, much better.
That's true. That's true. Totally makes sense. So yeah, I have the last question for you, which is for I want to know a piece of advice that you wouldn't want to share with obviously any entrepreneur that wants to start a business, but specifically someone that wants to start something in local services, that can be electrical services, that can be I guess roofing, fencing, HVAC, like there are lots, right? So what is, let's say, a few pieces of advice, I shouldn't even say one, they can be a few, that you feel that someone who wants to start should know before they're starting something like this.
So for me, I think it's the concept of planning your work and working your plan, right? Being able, especially when we're new, right? I mean, there's so many things. If I can go back to, when I first started, there's so many things I didn't know, and so many books I read that I didn't fully absorb. I didn't, you know, well, one of the best books I've ever read was The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. And it was
Okay.
all about entrepreneurs, right? Having the entrepreneurial seizure when we decide we go from having the tools in our hand to saying, "Oh wait, I can do this for myself." And I think that should be a first read for a lot of different people, because it breaks down the concept of there's a difference between a business owner and a technician, and and the accountant and everyone else. And people don't usually, nobody ever teaches us the business side of it. We know the trade side, and we feel like that's enough, and it's really not. So I think that one of the biggest things is for people to kind of take a step back and identify what they want. And they may not know what they want, have a 5, 10, 15-year plan, and it doesn't have to be right. It just needs to be a target that you're working towards. And then you can change it every day if you want to. You can go and say, "You know what? I don't want a big house. I want a bigger house." Or, "I don't want I don't want 2 kids. I want 3 kids." Whatever. It doesn't matter, because it's still the same trajectory. You're just changing the minor stuff that will get you there. So I would say for anyone, and I do some instructional stuff here and there for different, entry-level electricians here in Phoenix. And I always tell them, they're just getting into the trade. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. I tell them, take a piece of paper and write out why and where you hope to be, and then look at that, even if it's once a week, and be able to say, "You know what? Is this serving the purpose that is this getting me to where I want to be?" And as you learn more in life, it's going to be more, life, occurrences and experience. As you learn more, then you adjust it and alter it to what you know. And that's number one. That's paramount for me. I feel like before you get into, you can't know your numbers because you don't have a business yet, so that would be number two, though. Once you get the ball rolling, just come up with a plan and have that structure. It's very difficult to do. You got to find a good mentor, and you got to find somebody that's done it already that you can say, "Hey, can you help me with this?" You don't have to do everything somebody tells you, but you should take it all with a grain of salt. They're speaking from somewhere if they have experience. So, yeah. Hope that wasn't too long of an answer.
No, it's not right. Like, honestly, it has to be because, like, just saying few words doesn't really help because the context is important. But I'll definitely take this line from you, which is planning the work and working the plan. I'll definitely use this because this makes a lot of sense. Like, this is just one line, but if someone wants to understand the depth of what it means, there's a lot that someone can take in from this. So this is a great line that I'll take from this podcast for sure. And but before we end, like, I generally sort of ask one question from you, which you would want me to ask the next person. Again, we're taking this from some of the podcasts that we see. So even from the sixth question that I asked, there was one question that I got from someone who wanted me to ask to the next person. So is there something that you feel that I should ask the next guest on our podcast?
Always think it's a great question when you can find out from anyone who's leading a team, what's the vision for their team, right? What's
Yeah.
the, because, I especially speaking to a BNI audience, this is probably not the case, but I come from, again, the days of, here's $20 an hour, shut your mouth, keep your head down, and and work, and don't ask any questions. Maybe you'll get promoted one day, or maybe you'll make more money. Those days are long gone. I feel like everybody's smarter than that now. But I feel like we, a lot of times, we neglect or we don't understand the importance of our number one customer. And our number one customer is really our team, right? I'm nothing without my team. I'm nothing without the support of my team and the people that help to bring my vision to customers. Other than that, it just wouldn't happen. So I would say a focused question like that on the team and worrying about their vision is probably a really good way to test the water and see what, to measure yourself, right? Because we think we know everything, right? Or we think that we're the leaders, and we try to go through and do the best we can for our team. But I mean, I'm not afraid to say, hey guys, this is wrong. I got to change it because I thought one thing, but now I think something else. And I feel like the real ability to lead is being able to do that. It's not telling people what to do. It's being able to pivot when you're wrong, or admit and say, hey, no, I'm hurting you right now, and my pride is going to take a back seat. And I'm gonna shift because it's gonna be better for you. And that to me is one of the biggest things that I've learned in the last year.
Well, that's a very, this is a really important question, right? Like, I totally understand, right? Because, like, one of the biggest things that I keep on seeing is for services, the product is the team, because you don't really have a product that you can sell, right? Like, the only thing that you have an advantage, or let's say can be better, or let's say the best, is your team, right? So, for services, I don't think there is anything more important than how well you can structure your team. How well are you with your team? How well they feel about you? Because if they don't really feel good about you, they won't be able to do a good job as well. So that makes a lot of sense, and I definitely will add this to the list of questions that I would want to ask the next person. But yeah, it was great talking to you. Great knowing about your perspective, which I definitely think that people would gain a lot of insight from, and that should help a lot of people. So thanks a lot for doing this. Definitely will stay in touch, and we'll take things from there.
Yes, great. Thank you for having me and asking me to do this. And I wish you the best success. That's really great. It's really great you're doing this for people and being able to educate, it's a big part.
For sure, for sure. But yeah, thanks a lot for your time. Have a
Perfect. You
great day.
all righty.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.